How is everybody doing today?
Great. How about you?
I have never been tireder, but other than that, pretty good.
Rufus, wake up.
Oh,
Rufus, wake up.
where's the cat?
Oh.
throwback to yesterday's D&D.
Oh.
Welcome everybody to the 10th
There's no cat.
episode. There is, I mean, there could be. You guys didn't go look.
I
Well,
mean, there's no cat.
welcome to the 10th episode of the Dungeons and Downloads podcast. You can catch us live on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook every Monday at 9 p.m. Atlantic, 8 p.m. Eastern. And tomorrow, which is the Tuesday, everything will be on all the fancy podcasty places that you can possibly imagine. And some that you probably can't.
Fanciest.
Yeah. I did hear about
Well,
one the other day that we're not on, and I
wait.
checked, and I was like, I'm not paying $40 a month to be on your platform. Sorry.
Why not?
I'm not. I don't know, man.
What platform are we talking about?
Oh, it's called like Podbean or something like that. It's a podcast
What?
thing where it's free for people to listen, but it costs to host there. And I was like, no.
$40 a month?
Something like that. Because like if you don't get like the max subscription, you're capped at like a like 2 hours a month or something like that. Like
What the? Are you talking about monthly podcasts people are releasing?
or like 20
Like,
minute podcasts or something.
who does 20-minute podcasts? Podcasts, like, we do an almost short length of a podcast. This is a
Oh yeah,
podcast.
I would say our
Podcasts are
podcast,
long.
yeah, no, they're supposed to be. They are usually pretty long.
20-minute podcasts.
But
Get out of
yeah.
here.
So we're not on that, whatever that one was. I think it was called Podbean or something like that. But we're on all the main ones, like Apple and Google and Spotify and Anchor and a few others. So you know what?
I actually never heard of Anchor until you told me that it was on the list of things to do
So
of a podcast we're on.
I don't know the background of it, but Anchor is owned by Spotify.
Interesting. But doesn't Spotify already have podcasts?
They do, but like Anchor does podcast distribution. So Anchor pushes our podcast everywhere else, but it's also a spot where you can listen to podcasts. So I think what happened is Anchor was its own thing, and then Spotify
So it's
bought
the
it.
anchor
Yeah,
of everything.
pretty much. Yeah, it really is. But it's great.
Interesting.
Anyone, if you have
Makes
your own
sense.
podcast and you're not using Anchor, you're not doing it right. Trust me, I messed around for like hours before I found Anchor, and this was just the best way to do it. Stop doing what I'm doing, Cal. Makes me self-conscious. Messing around in the document. What are we going to talk about today, Cal? Let's do something productive. What are we going to talk
Video
about?
games.
Video games, okay?
So we're just gonna go over a couple of video game topics. Stardew Valley has a tournament. Still kind of confused on that, but I know what it's about, so we can talk about it. Psychonauts is released tomorrow, but the
Oh,
reviews are already
is it?
out, so we can talk about it. We can give a little
Nice.
early Psychonauts review things, and then we're gonna talk about terrible people and why they're terrible. By that I mean hate raids. Why do they happen, and why are people so bad?
Yes, my psychoanalysis went really deep for this one. I watched a lot of Criminal Minds this week, last week, just to prep for it.
Then the second half, we're going to be talking about more build the campaign stuff. Specifically, we're going to be going over different virtual tabletops and also non-virtual tabletops, like the ones
In
that you
your
have
ta
in
yeah,
your living
like the
room
tabletop you eat off of.
or play D&D on.
Or both.
Or both.
Just don't do it at the same time. It
Why
can go
not?
bad. It can go bad.
You just gotta have a large enough table, get a pizza. You ever like had pizza in your tabletop
I usually had like a second
sessions?
table because I didn't
Sure, I
my
mean that's fine. I didn't have people slap pizza on the D&D table, but
Can I use
we
this
would eat and
pepperoni as
play at
my
the same
token?
time. Sure, why not?
Oh man, you're ruining the
That grease
map.
stain is where my fireball went.
I guess you just can't go backwards on the map because you're destroying it as you move, so good luck with that. I knew we shouldn't have ordered the mystery meat pizza.
But it sounded fun.
Oh dude, this is one pizza place that's like every Wednesday we used to order pizza from it at work, so like everyone would put in like, I don't know, like $5 and you get like a huge serving of pizza, but it was like really hit or miss. Like one day it would come and it'd be like just
Nice.
amazing. And then, like, the next day, it would just be, like, the greasiest pizza you've ever had in your entire life. Hey, man.
Greasy pizza. That's how you know you're having good pizza.
You could soak some of it up with a napkin. Like, it was, like, the greasiest. And it's, like, how...
True pizza right there.
How did the same place...
You look at it and you say, I don't even need to chew.
Yeah, pretty much. Just batten down the hatches and just... Oh. Eat like a snake, unhinge your whole jaw, just let it slide back there.
Yeah, I mean, that's snake food.
But it was amazing that those same pizzas came from the same spot.
It's got different cooks, man. One day there was one cook, one day there was the next.
Like, I swear, if there was a way to, like, preserve pizza, like, and it's like, this is when you got it form for like 2 months, and I just saved one piece every time, and I gave you an assortment of pizzas that we ate over the last 2 months. Most of them would taste like a different pizza place.
You gotta put it in epoxy resin.
Oh, okay, yeah.
See the Reddit hot dog that someone put in epoxy
resin? I didn't, but I can imagine. People do amazing things with resin. I've seen some pretty crazy stuff. Are you gonna send it to me? I kind of want to see the hot dog.
It's Reddit, so it is literally a Reddit. Oh, the video is unavailable.
Reddit epoxy
hot dog.
Hot dog.
10 month update. It just kind of expanded.
10 month update.
It's literally a hot dog in epoxy in a bun with stuff on it.
Wow. That is just. Okay, hold on. You guys...
did some stuff with burgers as well, but like...
Hold on.
The big thing is the hot dog. I think that's how it started. Some guy just put a hot dog in epoxy.
Hold on. Okay, I can't bring it up easily.
You can actually watch it... you can watch it over the months, too, because they have it from month one.
Yeah.
They I think, have the like making of somewhere.
That's pretty cool. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
That is.
Yeah, you deal with the pizza that preserves it.
Yeah. So we just have to figure out how to get it out. Maybe we'll wait till this guy's done with the hot dog experiment. I assume he's going to
see
whether
he gets it out.
Be waiting in suspense for a few years, but we got this. We'll let you know. Every month we'll bring up next month.
It's our epoxy hot dog if anyone wants to go. While you're driving, just take out your phone, look it up. It's worth it.
Yeah. Swerve into oncoming traffic. They deserve it.
For this hot dog. Okay, sure, why not? They deserve it.
Stardew Valley tournaments. So are a great segue into Stardew Valley tournaments.
It's true. The best.
So
it's a thing that's happening, and that is all. On to the next segment. Yeah. No, it is a tournament where people are competing because someone figured out a way to make Stardew Valley competitive in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So I don't know who I think this is Concerned Ape question. Is.
Concerned Ape's the creator of Stardew Valley, isn't it?
Okay, so he's the one offering up the prize money of $40,000 then. Yeah, Stardew Valley creator. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, Concerned Ape is the creator of Stardew Valley, and he's the one that's offering up the money. He's been working with other streamers. Unsurpassable Z.
So it's.
To offer up $40,000 for the winner of this tournament. Rufus.
Yeah. Let's go.
How? That's all. How?
How?
And what?
And what? Those are very deep questions. We'll get into this more with my psychoanalysis of the hate raiders.
Of hate raiders?
Yeah.
Okay. but the real question is how and what of Stardew Valley, of this tournament.
So
like how do you even how?
Okay, so there's teams of four.
Okay.
And they're going to be playing on the same map, and there's points that they can get. So you get 10 points for finishing the craft room, 15 for winning the ice fishing contest, 5 points to give Pam a pale ale, 25 points to give a loved one at the feet of the winter. To give a loved gift. Yeah. At the feet of the winter star. I'm sorry, I've never played Stardew Valley. Reach what? Level 120 in the mines.
Rufus. Do you want to play Stardew Valley on the first?
Maybe. That would be okay. Pretty good. Maybe we should.
We're putting that idea. Rufus and I are probably going to do something on the first. I know it's a little off topic, but look forward to potential thing happening.
We'll have some closing remarks about why and what we're doing about. Actually, but
I didn't want to forget. Didn't want to forget, so I had to say it.
Complete a monster eradication goal is worth 20 points, and obtain a trash hat is worth 10 points. And essentially, they're going to play for a certain amount of time, and we total of 5 challenges. One of them's worth 50 points, so they're gonna have challenges to do as well.
Those are the challenges.
Okay.
And I think it's multiple challenges that they go through. Like they have to do it. It's over a course of 5 different challenges, and they have 3 hours.
Okay.
To
that makes sense.
Do as many things as they can. And 3 hours in real life, not in game time, because 3 hours in game time would be like no time at all in real life.
I'm assuming the winner gets 40k and nobody else gets anything. So like the winning team.
Yeah, I don't know how it's split.
There's 4 people on a team, and 40k divides into 4 pretty evenly. 10k each, yeah. So I think that's probably what's going to happen. If you did want to see it, it's on September 4th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Probably on Concerned Ape's channel, I would guess. Or maybe he has a Stardew Valley exclusive. It doesn't really say where it's going to happen.
I don't know if there's a Stardew Valley channel. But yeah, it'll be somewhere.
I'm assuming it'll probably be on the front page of Twitch.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It's on Unsurpassable Z's Twitch channel.
Oh, okay.
And their YouTube.
Unsurpassable Z.
Yeah. Unsurpassable Z. It's going to be on their channel.
Do you ever play Harvest Moon, Rufus?
Or do you
know what Harvest
Moon is? No, I've played a lot of Harvest Moon, and I've played a lot of Minecraft.
It's like a modern Harvest Moon.
And I think that's kind of why I didn't do it. It's just I was okay with Harvest Moon, and I was happy with it, and I didn't need spreadsheets to play Harvest Moon.
But, you don't need spreadsheets to play Stardew Valley. You can just go super chill with it. You don't need a spreadsheet to Stardew Valley.
Okay. The people I saw playing it were, intense into spreadsheets, and I was like, this is more work than fun.
Yeah, because that's what they decided to do. You don't have to do that.
Well, I didn't know.
It's one of those games where you can go really chill. If you want to get this amount of this by the first year and make sure you're making max money out of every little tiny thing, then sure, you can do spreadsheets. Or you can literally just go plant some stuff, have a relaxing day, go fish, talk to some town folk, and go to sleep. That's your day.
Oh, wait,
it's not maxed.
Wait, do I have this?
You might have Stardew Valley, you've never played it.
No, I don't. Why is it ignored on Steam? It says it's ignored. I don't know.
Steam does that for some games. I forget what game it was someone was telling me about. I went to go look at it, and then I couldn't easily find it, and I got sad, and then I realized it was ignored.
So it's...
I actually still have Stardew Valley installed.
It's $17 Canadian, so yeah, we'll probably pick
that up. That's 100% worth it, but if you don't want to, that's fine. That was an idea. I'm throwing in an idea so that I don't forget to tell you about it.
If we can do multiplayer, I'd be interested. I wouldn't want to play it.
You 100% can do multiplayer.
I'd be okay with that.
Multiplayer, they have multiplayer. They added that in a couple updates ago. And it works really well.
It seems pretty cool. I don't really know how I feel about Stardew Valley being an esport. This is the kind of stuff that makes me not want to play the game. Because
because it's an esport?
Well, not because it's an esport, but this could be a hot take. I don't know. But don't get me wrong, speedrunning's cool.
I'll take me. Do it.
But, I wouldn't want to watch a Harvest Moon speedrun for the same reason I wouldn't want to watch a Stardew Valley speedrun, because I feel like it would be super boring. And I feel like part of the fun of that game is passing time at your leisure and not just running to the end goal.
80% Harvest Moon speedrun is in 1:54 for SNES.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
You don't want to watch someone just randomly do stuff for no reason?
I feel in my heart of hearts that games like Harvest Moon and similar are meant to be an experience, and you lose that.
Sure, so Stardew Valley, the first time you play it, would be an experience.
Yeah, but I feel like games like that that don't have an ending, you just, like Animal Crossing, you just continue the experience. There is no end. It's just game. It's just game.
Well, that's why
they
do challenges for Stardew Valley, though, is you create your ending. So, like, anything can technically be speedrun. You just have to speedrun. You just have to...
Speedrun-ed.
You just have to create your own ending for certain things.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I'm cool playing it, but I'm never speedrunning.
We don't have to co-op speedrun it, no. We're co-op speedrunning Goof Troop at some point in our lives. Totally. I don't know when, but at some point, we are going to co-op speedrun Goof Troop.
We will definitely be doing that. That's like, I love that speedrun. It's so cool.
It's great. We're going to do it.
Okay. Yeah,
Stardew Valley.
Money. Yeah.
Esports. I think it's interesting. I'm intrigued to see the viewership. See how many people are actually going to watch it. And what it's actually going to accomplish.
I will laugh very hard if somehow this becomes an esport.
Stardew Valley esport? I think the only way it becomes an esport if the money pool keeps being the same, which I don't think that's going to happen. Because, you know, I know everyone knows money is a very important thing in this world, so that's where people tend to go.
It's true, but... life finds a way. They could do a GoFundMe easily to get prize pool money for this, and people would definitely donate to it. But God, I'll laugh if this becomes an esport somehow.
I will be very intrigued. We will see what happens. We will see. Anyway, Psychonauts 2.
Psychonauts 2.
For anyone who doesn't know, Psychonauts 1 was released a long time ago. I don't actually remember the date, but a very long time ago, a game called Psychonauts released. It was a collectathon, and damn, was it a great collectathon.
It was a cold day on March 7th, 2006, when Psychonauts...
Oh, fun fact. It was 2005. It was April 19th, 2005.
I don't know. Wow, that was surprisingly close for guessing. I was off by 1 month and a year, but that was... I just guessed.
I was a little bit late to the Psychonauts party. Don't think I can see when I bought the game on Steam, but it was late, but I loved it still. Like, even coming in late to Psychonauts, loved it. Thought it was a fantastic game. I played it in 2013. So yeah, that's what I only played through it once.
I've never played it, but I've seen the speedrun multiple times and I've seen playthrough of it, but I've never played it.
Rufus, you're giving me so many different ideas for the game I'm going to make you play that are actually good. And I'm excited. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, buddy.
For having never played any good games in your life. I'm sorry that your existence is so terrible.
Dude, hold on. This coming from the man who's never played Paradigm. Everybody, put your hands together for MC Calamity. What about Doug the Beatboxing Eggplant?
2005, played in 2013. Fantastic game. It's a collectathon with psychic powers. And it's got this really light vibe to it. It also has this kind of, you know, mind effy vibe to some things you do, because the whole thing is you're going into people's minds and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Because Psychonauts. Psychonauts 2 released. All the reviews are out. I didn't look at Metacritic, but I've looked around and it seems to be pretty positive across the board. Just in general, Psychonauts 2 is being received as a fantastic sequel to the beloved first game. I think that's really cool. I'm really happy that it didn't turn out to be like a terrible sequel like some games turned out to be. And yeah, 89 Metascore right now from critics. That's, in my opinion, anything above an 80 when you already have 28 critic reviews, 30 critic reviews.
Okay, so
it's a great game.
It depends. I don't hold a lot of weight to the critic reviews. I think it's going to be a good game. But it depends on which critics they were. Critics.
I mean, you have some of the bigger things like Game Informer. You have the different IGNs. You have
the big thing that I don't like about. I'm kind of gonna go off topic
PC
a bit.
Gamer, I believe.
But
I mean, I think reviews are terrible because that's how a lot of game companies get paid. And sometimes if people don't pay the reviewers enough, then they get bad reviews, and that is that.
So there's a bit of that, and then there's like there's also just the side of it's almost like sometimes I feel like some of the reviews on Metacritic from critics are like very small film festival critics who are like, yes, it's set in France in 1804 and they perfectly captured the vibe. I was there once in 1804 and it's just perfect and nobody's going to like this film, but it's accurate. And I'm going to give it a good score because of that. And it's like, yeah, but it was a terrible movie. But it's like, did you see that one pan where he went like that really slowly and everything looked cool? 10 out of 10. I get that kind of vibe sometimes.
Yeah, some critics do some very interesting things, which is why
it's
sad. But
I'm also very concerned when I see two critics rate something 100.
There will always be critics that rate things 100. The PC version has like 4 100 ratings.
That's what I'm looking at right now. I'm also typically concerned when everybody gives it a good review, because there's always someone who's going to be contrary. So when you see something that only has good reviews, it's usually not a good sign because there's nothing that appeals to everybody. Or like when I see a really short review that said it took 16 years, but it's worth the wait.
I feel like there are games that don't get bad reviews because they're just not bad. Because a reviewer has to be unbiased.
It's, yeah, but nothing does everything perfectly.
So for 100, yeah, I don't think games should ever get 100. I actually, straight up, even my favorite game of all time, Witcher 3, doesn't deserve 100.
Yeah, well,
it had issues.
The other problem too, it's like the second you give a 100 review, unless you go back and reevaluate that later, you're saying that no one is ever like there just is no better score.
Right. There's never a better game. There could be games that are on point, but there will never be a better game ever in the entirety of existence.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to figure out how to do it on Metacritic, but I can't. The first person up there, VG270 or 247, I'd love to see how many 100s they give out.
Possibly.
Oh, here we go. All of this publication's reviews. They actually don't give out a lot of hundreds. They haven't given out. Okay, so that makes me more confident.
Other thing with Psychonauts 2 is that there's a lot of nostalgia with it. You have to also look at a game with a lot of nostalgia and say, okay, the reviews are probably going to be even better than maybe the game is, especially if you don't have nostalgia goggles on.
I'm feeling a bit better about it, but okay. He gave Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury 100.
Hey, Bowser's Fury, man. That.
I mean, it was 100. He's saying that. Okay, so if you liked that game, you'll probably like this one.
Well, that's actually not true.
No, it's not.
Two things can have 100s that can be very different. They're both on the same level of good.
They gave Animal Crossing New Horizons 100.
They like Nintendo stuff, man.
I don't know.
I'm gonna say a really hot take right here. Okay. I don't think critic reviews mean jack all.
No, they don't.
You should maybe look at a streamer or someone who's played it if you're really interested and you're on the fence. Watch some gameplay, then decide whether you want to play it yourself or just play it yourself. Steam does have a return policy.
Yeah.
So you could always play it for like an hour and then return it. Or less than an hour and return it.
That's kind of where I'm at. I think that critic reviews are mostly crap and user reviews are almost always trolly or fanboy-y. But typically I find in the user section, the trolls tend to outweigh the fanboys and the average score is probably somewhat believable. And then watch someone play it. And then, yeah, I think you're good with that. But
yeah, if you're on the fence about something, either watch someone play it or buy it and then return it if you really don't like it. Like, there is return policy on. I think it's Steam and Epic both have return policies. I understand. I just said a swear word to Rufus there, and I apologize. but both of them have return policies. So, like, I honestly feel like critic reviews don't mean anything.
Yeah, especially, like, I don't know, if you see 100, you should always be wary of that particular reviewer.
Yeah.
On an early...
I would be wary of the game, I just wouldn't...
I'm always wary of the reviewer, never the game in these situations. I'm always wondering, like, Do they give everything 100? Do they give everything an 80? Like, how bad does a game really have to be to get a bad rating? And if all these games are rated 100, how would you ever rate them if you had to make a top 10 list if they're all the same rating?
It's true.
It's well,
one actually got like a 99.9, but they wanted to give it an 100 instead because you wanted to boost it up and round it up.
Yeah, that's
But yeah, I think it's gonna be a good game. I'm excited. I'm gonna play it. It's on Xbox Game Pass as well, so if you have Xbox Game Pass, you can just
play it tomorrow.
Download it and play it.
Just skadoosh your way in there and grab it.
You don't even have to buy it. I mean, you have to have Xbox Game Pass, so you're paying a monthly fee, sure. But you don't have to buy the game itself, so you could even try it and then uninstall it if you don't like it right there. And then unsubscribe to Xbox Game Pass if you're really that angry about it.
It's true.
All of those things.
If it's bad, just blame Todd Howard.
I wouldn't do that. Oh, how have we not talked about this? Rufus, Skyrim Anniversary Edition. I'm going to derail and we're going to add a small segment in here.
That's fine. Go for it.
Skyrim Anniversary Edition. Fishing. Enhanced fishing.
Why?
Enhanced fishing.
Why? Okay, it's 10 years old, so it's
newer
than...
Sure, that's why it's being released for Anniversary Edition. But it's been released so many times. This is almost more egregious or more egregious than Grand Theft Auto 5 at this point.
I'm not happy about it.
Their big thing is that it is enhanced fishing. Who cares?
I don't have anything.
They're
good
adding
to...
creation club content, quests, dungeons, bosses, weapons.
Okay, so I think that is a really good idea.
That's cool.
But I also think
what if you just made another game?
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think the past sins of Bethesda plus Skyrim on a new console justifies them giving you like 10 new pieces of equipment.
So you know.
The
drum set behind me has a little screen. I'm probably going to be able to play Skyrim on that soon.
According to IGN, old fans can upgrade their game to the anniversary edition.
I don't have to buy it.
Just wait. You do, though. If you have the special edition, the upgrade won't be free.
You're kidding me.
It won't.
You're kidding
it
me.
It will not be free.
You think I have to buy that?
Yeah.
Buying Skyrim again. I bought it for Xbox and PC.
It sounds like there might be an upgrade path at an undisclosed price, but it is not free. You will have to buy the fishing expansion.
Why would I spend money for fishing? And especially on PC, why would I spend money for Creation Club content where I could just get mods that had the same thing online for free?
But better question, have they ever fixed the plants that clipped outside the wall?
I think they left that in there as a developer intended bug.
then I would advise people not give them more money for nothing.
I'm not gonna upgrade my version of Skyrim. I have Skyrim's special edition, which was free from the original Skyrim Game of the Year edition that I had.
I played an hour of Skyrim on 360.
Many hours of Skyrim, and I loved it.
Maybe I'll play Oblivion.
I know you probably hated it.
I didn't necessarily hate it. I just didn't have a good computer, and it wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't that great on 360 comparatively.
No, I mean, I played it on 363 for like 20 hours, and then I went and played it on PC.
It was okay. It was an RPG.
I enjoyed it. It was a good RPG. I just like the fact that you could dual wield.
When I got a gaming PC, there were just I didn't own it, I guess. I played it, but I didn't own it. I was too busy playing Borderlands.
I don't even have, I have 70 hours in both editions total.
Yeah.
I also have zero achievements in the special edition because I have it on PC and I instantly played it modded, because why would you play it unmodded on a PC?
Did you turn on the Thomas the Tank Engine mod?
I did not.
That is the best.
I played
mod.
With upgraded graphics and some stuff like that.
Oh, trust me, it's a graphics upgrade. Have you seen it?
Because Thomas the Tank Engine.
It changes.
I have seen the Thomas the Tank Engine mod, yeah.
For anyone who hasn't, in the opening cutscene where the dragon comes in, it's Thomas the Tank Engine. It might be all dragons, but it's definitely that one. Just Thomas the Tank Engine blowing fire.
Someone replaced, God, is it Tyrant? What's Resident Evil 2? Not Nemesis, the other guy with Thomas the Tank Engine.
One of the tank engines?
Tyrant? It's Tyrant. With Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh.
They replaced Tyrant with Thomas the Tank Engine. They also, the best Resident Evil 2 mod I've ever seen was where they, whenever Tyrant's coming around a corner, it just says X is going to give it to you. But it's also Mr. X. Mr. X is the name. And it, you can hear it from a distance too.
Yeah. Because
you hear his footsteps and then you quietly start to hear X go, give it to you. And it just like, he busts through a wall, always at the right time. Like whenever the song like gonna rock, and then he busts through a wall. And, oh my god! It made me laugh so much.
That's amazing.
Google that. That just is Google Resident Evil 2 Mr. X or Resident Evil 2 X gonna give it to you.
I will. I don't want to get DMCA'd, but I will watch it.
No. You don't want to watch it on stream, but it's so good.
I will definitely watch that because that sounds absolutely amazing.
Mods are great. But anyway, Skyrim being released again. I don't know why it's terrible. Please don't give them your money.
No.
It's not worth it.
You know what? If you really...
If you already have it on PC, especially if it's special edition, because special edition has all DLCs, just mod it yourself for free.
Yeah. That won't probably take too long for people to just add that content into Steam Workshop.
Or Nexus Mod, or any of the mod places that exist for anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Last gaming topic we have today. It's a very serious topic.
It is. We're going.
People are terrible. Rufus, we need a criminal mind here.
Okay. So they're assholes who get off on making other people feel bad, and that makes them terrible people. They're hate raiders.
They're mostly racist assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Add that on.
Well, sometimes. It's not always racist. Sometimes it's other really bad things.
I feel like a lot of times it's racist from what I've seen.
A lot of times it's racist, and sometimes if you happen to be a different type of visible minority or some type of person who's not like a just straight white male, they'll tailor it to you and make it hateful in some way that'll hurt you. But
they'll make you feel bad for existing because they're terrible people that want other people to suffer for no reason.
But the big problem, I don't want to say it this way, but I already started. The big problem.
Do it.
I'm going to renege my wording like as soon as I'm done. But
you said it's a big problem. Let's go.
The bigger problem is actually Twitch's inability to do anything about it. But it's hard because the hate rate itself is a really big problem. But I think I'm even more frustrated that Twitch just refusing to do anything about it. In 20 minutes today, I thought of a way that they could put a Band-Aid on it that would work. And they could implement it tomorrow if they started right now. And all they have to do...
If they could do anything.
All they got to do is give you three buttons, okay? The first one stops chat immediately. The second one clears chat. And then the third one gives you a text box to type in the amount of time people have had to have followed your channel before they can chat. And just give you three buttons to put onto your like mod, your streamer dashboard. Pause, clear, turn on the followage of at least 10 days. That's a Band-Aid solution. It's not like an endgame solution where they fix the whole thing. But like that's something they could implement tomorrow that would just work. Instead, they were on Twitter and they were like, we've been working on months to find out how to ban these guys before it happens. And it's like, you're just never going to do it before it happens. That's just not going to...
Yeah.
What you mean, you're just doing a whole lot of nothing and trying to save face like you do with every other issue.
Do something useful for once.
But like, I guess if this channel ever gets hate rated, I actually have my panel set up to deal with it. I have three buttons right in a row. The first one is emote only chat. The second one is follower only chat. And the third one is clear chat. I'm just going to hit all three of those buttons, and that's the best I can do.
I purposely always had the stream in mod view as well. So I can just like go emote only and fodder follower only are like right next to each other. With so I just go boom, boom.
Well, you have a stream deck, so you could just make a hate raid button that does them in tandem.
I probably do that after the streamers to make sure. Yeah, but yeah, I have a hate. I have a stream deck, so I can always actually do, because they have it on, some people online have put together everything you need to do stream deck hate button.
Yeah.
Which, stop hate button, you wouldn't really call it a hate button because that's the opposite of what you're attempting to do.
It's a clear the hate button, but yeah, so like that's the best, as a non-affiliate channel, that's the best we can do is pop it into follower only mode, which does nothing because they follow you before they start spouting hate. Emote only, I don't know how creative they can get with emotes, but I'm hoping not super creative. And then I got a clear chat button to clear whatever they did. Oh, and the other recommendation I had was allowing them to delete all followers that happened within a certain time period so that you can get rid of them and ban them. But like Twitch could have that done by tomorrow. Like, I don't know anything about Twitch backend server code, but I also know that
they
like
could.
Their API
they have the staff.
The API that I could call as like an external developer has most of the things I would need to do that already there. So like, it could easily be done.
They could totally do it if they wanted to.
In response to Twitch not caring and not doing anything about it and just saying that we've been working on it for months and who knows when it'll be ready. In response to that, there is a current thing going around called there's two hashtags on Twitter going around, and one of them is called Do Better Twitch, and another one is called The Day Off Twitch. And a day off Twitch is September 1st, where I guess I'm going to encourage people, and I don't know if you're going to, but I'm going to encourage people not to watch your stream to Twitch on September 1st. Don't watch it.
I don't think I'm streaming it. I'm not going to stream on that day.
Don't watch, don't stream.
We're streaming maybe that night, but I'm not to Twitch. We wouldn't stream to Twitch anyway that night. We would just do YouTube and Facebook.
That's what we were talking about earlier. I think we're going to do a stream specifically in celebration of a day off Twitch and only stream it to YouTube and Facebook. It is like a, hey, look.
Hey, look, there are other platforms.
Yeah, hey, look, there are other platforms. Like, I feel like YouTube would do a better job of handling this.
Has it had to deal with it though?
They don't have raids.
Maybe they should. Okay. Maybe they would be able to, but until they would have to deal with anything similar, you don't know if they would. Because they're still also a pretty big company that.
I feel like they would, because like they already have to deal with
a little bit more.
They already have chat moderation or like comment moderation. That already exists. And like YouTube is already really good at like, I have all my videos set up to like not flag any content, but they also flag content automatically for me. And they're just like, this is definitely spam.
Right.
Like if you want to allow it, go ahead. But we blocked this one because it's definitely spam, even though I have it set to no moderation.
Like big follows, man. Yeah. Definitely spam. Like Twitch is not a block it though.
I don't know how they can't do that, but I had found a tweet that I sent to Cal today, and it was about Twitch said that people should use the current tools they have available to them to combat hate raids. And what this guy did was he, as like a use case or a test case, he said, what if I wanted to ban the word jogger? He found out that there, what was it, like 2.2 million different ways you could potentially spell jogger using like different ANSI characters that just aren't English characters but look exactly like the letter.
Yeah.
And when you're doing like banned terms via a bot, you can only do so many every 30 seconds. So if you wanted to actually add all those variations of the word jogger to his ban list on Twitch so nobody could say it, it would take him like 79 days. Of running a bot 24/7.
76 days, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that was
it. You had to run a bot, and then the bot would have every variation of it banned.
That's one word.
Yeah, because you can only have so many messages. The bot can only send. They can only do so many messages.
It's 100 messages every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So yeah, 76 days to ban one word. That's just, it's just not good enough.
No, it's not good enough at all. And you're also having to program a bot to ban every single way of word, like every single. It's crazy.
So, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I kind of understand why Twitch would have a hard time implementing something that would, like, go cross-reference all the different ways the word jogger could be spelt. But, like, in recognition of how difficult that would be, like, they should be smart enough to know that they shouldn't just tell us to use the tools you have available to you. We don't have any tools available to us. There are none.
There are none.
So don't say that. And second of all, that's like an even better reason to have some kind of band-aid solution that's like ridiculously easy and some dumb guy in PEI thought up of in 20 minutes sitting in his basement.
It's true.
Like, are the people that get hired dumber than me? Because if so, I'm afraid.
That's actually probably the case.
Like,
I don't know if they're dumber. I think they just care less.
I'm not a smart person, but like, I came up to like an instant, like, give it to the intern type solution. The unpaid intern.
You've seen Donkey Kong Country 3, so you know interns don't do a good job.
They do not. They do not do a good job.
That's not true. Interns probably do great.
Interns.
Don't want to hate on interns too much. Any interns out there, I'm sorry.
If you'd like to intern for us, you can send a resume to contactdungeonsanddownloads@gmail.com. contactdungeonsanddownloads@gmail.com, and you can intern for us. You can take Cal's position of secretary and prepare the notes.
No. We've already been over this. I have to still be... I guess I would still be here, but remember, you can rent out the space for $4.
Yep, $4 a month.
A show. Well, what were we doing a month? I was doing a show. $4 a show for this.
Yeah.
Anything $4 a show. You want here.
Anything you want.
You got to keep Rufus, but you don't have to worry about mine.
I got a haircut recently, so I'm good.
I got a haircut like a month or two ago.
Yeah. Haircuts are a thing.
They are. You're correct.
I don't think I have anything else to say about hate raids other than I'm just baffled that a multi-million dollar company owned by Amazon can't come up with an idea better than mine.
And people are just terrible and do terrible things.
Or even my idea. Shit, maybe I should go work for Twitch.
Like, no. Don't do it.
I'm not.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not your fault.
Are you ready, Cal?
I was born ready, Rufus.
Are you ready for the halftime show?
Yeah, I'm ready for the halftime show.
Okay, it is time to play Guess That Sound.
Who's that Pokemon?
<Da-na-na>. We have... I don't know how many sounds there are, because I'm not going to do the math right now. We might not do them all. It's a four-minute video, but we'll see how long we're taking.
Guess that sound.
We've got 15 seconds. We're going to hear a sound for 15 seconds, and then me and Cal are going to work together to try to guess what the sound is. So, you ready for sound number one?
I'm dead weight here. It's pretty much going to be Rufus.
Oh, God. I was hoping you were going to do the legwork.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Sound number one. I think that is somebody peeling a carrot. No, I think it's somebody peeling a carrot. I think that's a really close-up sound of somebody peeling a carrot.
I'll say my only thing against that is I heard metal, but I guess that could have been the peeler.
Yeah, I think that's the peeler clanking.
I'll go with you. I thought the more rock than carrot.
Well, it's that... There's... We still got seven...
Why don't we make this... Here. A competition where we lose nothing, and I'm going to say rock, chisel.
Okay.
You go carrot.
Okay, let's do it. Let's make it a competition where we discuss our views, and maybe we agree, and maybe we don't, and whoever gets the most points wins.
So I'm going to go rock, chisel.
Okay, I'm going to go with...
I'm going to go carrot peeler.
Can I make it a bit more generic and say vegetable?
Sure. No.
No?
This is a competition now, so we got to be a little bit more...
I don't know if it's a carrot or a carrot? Potato.
You got to decide.
I'm going to go with carrot.
You got 5 seconds.
I'm going to go with carrot. Okay. Carrot. Because I'm from PEI, I would know what a potato sounds like.
It's true. I'm Irish. I would know what a potato sounds like. Okay.
It's got to be.
It's going to keep going for a little while. I think it's the rock, right? Peanut butter on toast.
Oh!
We're You're bad.
Spreading peanut butter on toast on a plate. I was closer. I mean, in food.
You don't get a point though.
I do not get a point, but I was in food world. You ready for the next one?
Okay. So ready.
Okay, this is still the peanut butter.
Still the same one. It's peanut butter on toast. I get it.
Woo! I hear it now. Okay, here we go. I got this one.
The zipper.
Yeah, that's a zipper. 100%. I don't even.
100%.
I don't even have to pause this one. I think.
Keep it going. It's a zipper. Has to be a zipper. Peeling a banana.
Whoa!
What? It's a zipper. It's a zipper. Peeling a banana.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
You ready for the next one?
Apparently not. Okay.
Okay.
This is still the same one. Projector. It's a slide projector. Slide projector.
I'm gonna go with a photocopier.
Slide projector. Because that's what you do. You hit the button, yep. And then it goes.
That just sounds too obvious. A DVD player opening? Oh, my God.
I went old school in the right realm, and then
this
photocopier was still the right realm. I don't know why I went back to, like, many years ago.
Let's see. What else we got? It's an aerosol can of some kind.
Are we gonna go? You gonna go aerosol? I'm gonna go with you on this one.
I think this one's aerosol. I just don't know how specific we need to go with it.
Aerosol's a reasonable answer.
Okay, I think it's an aerosol can, and I would also accept deodorant.
Sure. But I'm just gonna go with you with aerosol here.
Okay.
Cause I can't hear that at all.
Spray deodorant.
There you go.
Oh, I love how I even said I would accept deodorant, and it was definitely deodorant.
Yeah, I wasn't hearing that in the slightest.
Okay. Let's get the next one. That's teeth brushing.
Brushing your teeth.
Teeth brushing, 100%.
Teeth brushing, for sure.
This is going to be like eating a banana.
No way it's eating anything. You can hear the opening of the mouth and the closing of the mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, brushing your teeth. That's what it was.
Yeah. They made that one a bit too.
I have no clue.
This is cutting something with a knife.
You think it's a knife on what? Like a cutting board?
Yeah, I think it's a knife on a wooden cutting board. Cutting through.
Does this person not have knife skills? Because that's like, you're not supposed to. We'll go with it.
That's all I've got.
Maybe I don't have knife skills. Maybe that's why I don't hear it. Because I don't ever hear these sounds. Ripping off paper towel from the roll. Okay, I was like, that doesn't sound like a knife. Because I work with those on a daily basis.
How often do you put your ear right up to it?
Way more than I should. People normally tell me to get away from the knife. I'm like, here with the knife. Hmm, I want to hear this really cut. Okay.
That's how I lost this ear.
You know, I have my headphones on all the time. You don't know if I have both ears.
This is true. Let's see what else we got.
Round 7. Pouring a glass of water.
I'm going to say filling that's it. I was going to say maybe a water bottle, but it's definitely a glass of water.
It's a glass. It's 100% a glass.
Yeah.
There's no way it's not a glass. Pouring water. Oh, it's a bottle. I was right.
It was the higher pitch at the end that made me think it.
Cash register? No. Pause. I don't know.
I want
to say it's a cash register.
I'm going to say typewriter.
Typewriter. Okay, that sounds a little bit better. I'm going to go with typewriter. I'll agree with typewriter. toast popping up from a toaster. Okay, sure. Now I hear it.
Yeah, me too.
That's definitely a thing now.
God, this is hard.
This is hard.
This is drinking from a water from a bottle.
We're drinking from like a one of the water bottles that you have like the thing on the end of specifically.
Yeah.
Sucking water out of a straw and swallowing. Sure, that also.
You know
works.
What? I think we're close enough because you said the like the spigoty thing. I think that's good enough.
Yeah.
There's no way we could possibly tell what the thing. Oh.
Air conditioner.
Nope. I know this one. This is a microwave.
Oh yeah, no, that's a microwave. I hear it. I'm gonna go with microwave. I'll go with you on this one.
Yeah. The
microwave working.
Yeah, this is the last. If there's no more, this could have been the last one. There might be one more. No, okay, that's it.
I don't know how much we got right. All I know is we did stuff.
Feel like good we job. Either tied or one of us came out ahead by one point.
I can say you won this one.
Yeah, I got the microwave.
More ideas.
I got the microwave.
You also just came up with more ideas. I disagreed with you.
You know what? That's a good formula for this podcast. The Cal just agrees with me podcast. I like it.
No, God, no. You gotta have someone to play devil's advocate or it's boring.
That was good. That was harder than I thought it would be.
It's called Extremely Hard Sound Guessing Game. Literally called in the title Extremely Hard Sound Guessing
Game. It was still harder than I thought it would be.
But Rufus, it's Extremely Hard Sound Guessing Game.
It's true, but I did not...
Rufus, Extremely Hard Sound Guessing Game.
It's the banana one that really got me.
Okay.
Okay,
but let's break down the title of this video. Extremely Hard Sound Guessing Game.
Okay, so I hear you. But I could see if they were hard and we just didn't know what they were, but that was a zipper. That was a zipper, Cal.
Well, right. It was extremely hard.
In my mind.
In the sound guessing game.
The only way I can rationalize that is it's one of those zipper up bananas from Donkey Kong 64. That's the only way I can mentally be okay with that.
One of those things from that terrible video game.
That critically acclaimed terrible video game.
Terrible video game. Exactly. That's why you can't trust critics. Boom. Now we've come full circle.
We got one more topic here.
Not in the downloads.
No. Yeah, we're on to dungeons.
We're going to the dungeons.
We're going to delve deep into the dungeon.
I also love that I still have not switched the format to match our stream art title. And I never will. We will always be the Dungeons and Downloads podcast. Does downloads then dungeons.
That's okay. I feel like the dungeons part is kind of the meat and potatoes of our entree that we're giving.
That was a very confusing way to also say that.
Yeah.
I had to explain what a vine was to someone Sunday.
Because they were too young to know what vine was.
No, they were too
old.
Old, but they're younger than me. It was weird. I explained it. It was TikTok before TikTok became TikTok. It works.
I'll allow it.
But it's also one of the most confusing ways to explain anything because I used the same word 3 times.
Yeah, no.
But they got it. They understood it. And I'm like, I don't know how you understood that.
I think communication is half the battle, man, of communicating.
Hey, you know. Communications have the battle. Anyway, moving on from explaining things poorly, but people still understand. What's our dungeons part of this week?
So it dawned on me that we've been talking a lot about how are you going to write this dungeons. Campaign? Yeah, dungeons. Specifically, old creepy dungeons with mind flayers in them. But
who?
You just got into writing this campaign, right? And you're like, hey, this is going pretty good. I'd love to run my session 0 and my session 1.
You're like, I don't have friends. What can I do?
And then you go to Plenty of Fish and you say that you're looking for some casual relationships and you'll find lots of D&D buddies.
That's how this works.
I'm kind of surprised there. Well, actually, Obsidian Portal has a looking for group function. Go to Obsidian Portal and look for people looking
there
for
players.
There
are looking for group functions.
I'm
lucky and never have had to do a pickup game, but people do enjoy pickup games, so.
Honest, I don't
completely
think.
Completely off topic. Go do the looking for group thing and play with people, man.
Honestly, it's a really good way to get better at role playing. They don't know who you are. You can just literally play yourself.
You can do whatever you want, as long as you're not being an asshole.
You can literally play yourself the character, and they wouldn't know.
You could.
But, so you've got, you've managed to make this Plenty of Fish profile, and you now have four people who think you want to hook up, but they don't know what they're in for. And,
and then they come over all at the same time, they're like, we're playing D&D!
They maybe come over, because we're talking about virtual tabletops, Cal.
Oh, that's true.
They maybe come over. So we're going to talk about some
what
virtual
kind of a
tabletops.
Chat room is this?
Between the both of us, we've both DM'd using every single thing we're going to talk about, except one of them that I added at the last minute that you may or may not have noticed. But we're going to talk about why that would probably be horrible and why I never even considered it an option, even though some people do it. So
speech?
No, Tabletop Simulator.
Oh, okay. TTS to me means text to speech.
So first of all, virtual tabletop versus playing in person. And I'm gonna add to the end of that versus the hybrid solution that I'll explain.
Sure, we can do all. These are notes that can be added to at any time.
Yeah.
Let me add that.
Yeah. Could you please add that? So versus... for anyone who doesn't know, what is a virtual tabletop? So tabletop RPGs are traditionally played on the top of a table, and the pieces move around, and the maps sit flat, and everything's great, and you have like 10... Oh, wow, this is a lot of characters. typically, the person will put their hand over the map, and they'll move their piece over, and that's tabletop gaming in a nutshell, if you didn't know what tabletop gaming was. But there's reasons why you might not want to do that. Many reasons, especially let's just say COVID is probably a reason. You might not want to have six of your best friends in your house right now. But virtual tabletops is how you do that on the internet. How do you play a game that's traditionally played on a table on the internet with strangers or friends or
virtually
love interests?
sure, if that's what the two you were into.
Yeah.
Four, five. Hey, it's 2021. I don't judge.
Yeah, I don't. I do, but I won't judge out loud. Damn, we just all lost all of our polyamorous viewers.
Hey, I said I don't judge. The views of MC Calamity 3 do not reflect the views of the channel or Sagging Rufus.
Just once, I wish there was someone who agreed with me on anything.
Well, maybe you should be more agreeable.
They call me Hot Take Rufus. So yeah, virtual tabletops great. So first, playing in person can be fun. There's pros and cons to playing in person. The first con is having like five people over at your house and needing to be ready to have five people over as company and
yeah,
trying
part
to
of the fun, you know,
organizing
and
people to come over.
The worrying. Oh, yeah. That's impossible. Trying to get five adults to actually have the same schedule enough to get to the same place at the same time. That's why I used to only play like once a month, if that.
So playing in person is exactly what it sounds like. You get a bunch of people over, you play D&D, you may or may not be using paper, you might be using some of the companion apps on your phone to do your character sheet. That's not the hybrid model that I'm going to talk about, by the way. But it's fun. D&D is really fun to play in person, but if you're a person like me, who is not artistically inclined and cannot really draw very well, you may find out very quickly that you don't super enjoy playing in person because you have to now draw maps.
Similar-ish, but I had grid, so I just used square-ish corners and stuff.
I used grid paper, but like even then, like I would spend so long drawing a map to only use once, and like it was just never as good. is some.
I very much was like, okay, we got a wing over here, then we got a corridor over here, we got this right here, and then we got this and that. But I wasn't like, let's take an hour to draw this intricate map. I was like, let's just essentially use puzzle pieces and put them together.
So like, I was running Lost Mines, right? So like, I needed it to look like the map on the Lost Mines.
You'd have to, with the stuff I was using, if I did Lost Mines, I think actually when my brother ran Lost Mines, he used multiple of the, like, did you ever have like the rollout grid, like whiteboard almost S stuff?
No. No, I did not.
Where you could use markers on and then erase it, and they would roll up. It was really cool.
I had, like...
You would use that, and you'd have, like, multiple of those for different sections of Vandelver.
I had, like, 1-inch by 1-inch graph paper that would go on an easel.
Okay.
Is what I use.
Which would be kind of hard to see from a distance kind of thing.
Well, we were all playing right on top of the table.
Okay. So yeah, we used to slap one of those big things in the center of the table, and then everyone would kind of play around the edges, and then the characters would be wherever they want. And I literally have a cylinder of just random miniatures, and I'd say, okay, this ogre-looking thing is actually a dog, because I don't have a dog.
You know,
moving on.
You know what we did?
Use your imagination.
We went to the dollar store, and we bought a bag of dinosaurs and a bag of farm animals, and those were our tokens.
Nice.
Basically, it would be like, okay, you're going to be the pig, you're going to be the whatever, you're going to be the whatever. And if it was a whole bunch of goblins and everything was a goblin, and if it was like a whole bunch of goblins and a bugbear, it would be like, okay, the eagle is the bugbear and everything else is a goblin.
I do have one Hero Forge Dragonborn Paladin, which is my very first character, that is a actual, like, legitimate miniature.
Now that I have a 3D printer, if I ever played in person, I would probably 3D print everything I need to run. Like,
it takes longer than you'd think.
Oh, trust me.
My brother used to do that too, but you'd have to plan like a week or two ahead and just start printing.
This took like a day, like an entire day. And this is what? This is a 6x6 1-inch grid. So like,
right.
Yeah, I know the minis would take a long time, but like, here's the thing. I print all the characters out only once ever. I print out five goblins for an encounter. Goblins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have 5 3D printed goblins or something like that that I could always use. One of them is missing their mace because it broke off, but that's fine.
Like, let's say I print 5 goblins and next time I need 8, I only have to print 3, right?
Great.
So you build up your inventory over time. And if for some reason you can't get it done, you just use tokens or something for that one session and keep going. But that was the reason that I personally didn't like playing in person, was 100% the maps. I was totally okay with the messed up tokens and minis, but it was drawing the maps.
Use your imagination.
Because like, it's overwhelming enough to have to like read a campaign end to end and like learn the rules and try to, you know, run your first time players
through
things.
Make it up yourself. That's even more overwhelming.
It can be. But the maps, like, I remember drawing Wave Echo Cave. It took hours. It took hours. And the other thing,
that's
too.
That's what I liked.
I also scaled it.
Doing my own.
I scaled it.
Wow.
In the book, each square is 10 feet. I scaled it so that each square was 5 feet again.
5 feet per square.
Yeah. And it took.
I hate 10-foot square maps.
It took hours. And the other thing, too, was like, there was no good way to like Fog of War it so they could only see a certain amount, because I wasn't good enough to draw on the fly, so I have to draw it all ahead of time. So what I did was I went out and bought like a shit ton of cue cards, and I laid them out on top of the map and moved them.
Used to use layers of printer paper.
Yeah, that would work too.
Multiple layers, and just would throw that on the map, and then we would just remove a layer whenever they would get farther into or see another room.
We bought a whole bunch of cue cards for people to like use as like spell slots or like notes or quick notes or whatever they wanted, and I would just take the ones that weren't currently being used and I would just put them all over the map. But that made
it, everyone had used their phones for all of the like keeping track of stuff
in the beginning. We didn't know what apps were good and which apps were trash, so we just used a character sheet,
right?
And then after, you know, a few sessions, like we weren't even done the Lost Mines and we had already found good apps for it. But
right.
That's why I didn't like playing in person. So in comes virtual tabletops. I guess before we go there, what was your kind of experience playing in person and drawing the maps, and like what were your kind of likes or so dislikes?
I was doing my own campaign, so my maps were all, that's like I said, they were puzzle pieces. I just would say, okay, I want a corridor here, this and that. I had to make it in my head, which actually made it easier to draw rather than having to scale things. So I didn't really had an issue. My biggest issue with in person is getting five adults to be in the same place at the same time for 3 hours.
So what was hilarious?
Very difficult.
When we played, one of our players was a 2-hour drive away from us. So we would always make it like a thing. Like when they came down to play, we didn't just play D&D for an hour or 2 hours. We played for like 6 hours. So like from 6 at night to like midnight. And then he would sleep over and we'd do the same thing the next day. We'd play. So it'd be like a 2 hours of driving for 12 hours of D&D or more.
Right.
So we kind of made it worth it.
Maybe had someone move a state over in the middle of the campaign, but we just had them Discord call in every time, which made it easier having to have them drive like two and a half to three hours.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
But virtual tabletops kind of solve that. And there's a bunch of different ones. We'll talk about the three that we kind of have used. But the idea is all your players can log into a computer and they can move their own character and you can actually use pictures for your maps. So like, I guess for anybody watching, I can bring up just a random map really quickly that I used not that long ago while we're going.
It can be a little bit daunting as a DM to do virtual tabletop because there's a lot to do. But as long as your players know that this is like your first couple of... I can see the map on. I think we're live on at least YouTube. Twitch is bad. We're good. Okay. We're good, guys.
So this is an example of a map.
I can hear echoes.
I promise I'll never do that again. This is an example of a map that you can use on a virtual tabletop that I used not that long ago. You know what? I'm not going to remove the image. I'm just going to hide it in case that happens again. I'll remove it after the stream. But yeah, you can just use maps like that and people can move their stuff around. And then depending on the virtual tabletop you're using, there's more or less features.
I could open up Foundry, but it would do nothing to your stream.
Yep. I mean, you could open up Foundry and then I could go to Foundry.
That would actually be, if you want, we could go into a scene if you really...
Yeah,
we throw off Foundry, we can do that. We can go to Foundry, we can do that because I can very easily...
We can also just look up screenshots of Foundry.
I mean, it takes me like 2 seconds to launch the world.
True.
But yeah, anyway.
So
VTT is where you put maps on things and you do stuff. And it's all in virtual. People all connect in. Normally you use like a voice app like Discord so you can talk. And then everyone connects in. And everyone's there like that. They don't have to travel anywhere or do anything. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really awesome. And it's a lot easier to fit in with people's busy lives.
And then the third way I have to play is, I'll be honest, if I could choose one of these ways to play is my favorite, and it's a hybrid model that I use where I use a VTT in person, so I use a virtual tabletop in person, and there's a couple ways to do it.
You have like a fancy table that has a screen in the table?
I want to build one. But what I have done in the past is I've put a 32-inch TV on top of my table like this, and then they put their minis on top of it. That works really well. The other way I've done it is just had a wireless keyboard and mouse and then just had one person kind of designated as like the person who controls all the player characters. And then someone will just walk up and be like, okay, I want to move to here. And then that person will drag them up. So like one player has control of the characters.
Yeah.
And it's usually somebody like, that doesn't have to juggle a whole bunch of things. Like, let's say you were maybe somehow had an animal companion and a crap ton of spell slots and you had something else you had to watch. You wouldn't be the person probably moving all the stuff.
Why not? But, sounds like fun.
But that's probably my favorite way to play because I don't have to do the maps. I get to take advantage of all the VTT stuff. Players can still roll their dice and we're still all in person playing together. It's just that the view can happen on a television instead of on a very crappily drawn map that I drew.
Correct. You don't have to worry about your artistic ability anymore.
Yeah, or the time that I had to put in to do it, which is time that I could have spent prepping. Like, if I had to draw the maps, God, I don't know how long it would take me to prep.
I've done a couple in paint in Dungeon Paint.
That Dungeon Painter is fine. I'm cool with Dungeon Painter. That's great. I can build stuff in Dungeon Painter. I also
use other maps that I've bought online as well.
And that's
easy.
But like, if I had to go into like paint or like
you can draw a map
or like graph paper, like I just couldn't. I'm not that good. So I think the pros and cons of in-person versus VTT are just which of those
how artistic are you? And are you willing to push your head, bump, to slam your head up against the wall trying to get five people together at the same time?
Yeah. If you got people who can organize easily, I like the hybrid model a lot. If you don't, I actually really like the VTT model because I don't have to clean up my house for people to come over and play D&D and then try to organize a meal sometime in the middle. And
yeah, you don't have to worry about like food and all that. You just kind of go.
So honestly, I really like the VTT approach. I think in-person D&D has a place and I think that it's irreplaceable. I don't think you can replace...
It's an experience.
Yeah, I don't think you can replace... the type of gameplay that happens in an in-person session. I've noticed that it's quite different playing in a virtual tabletop. Yeah. Just the way the players handle certain scenarios are different than if they were in a room, you know, looking over the map as opposed to staring at a screen. There's definitely a mental element that changes.
That's true.
So let's talk about a couple of different... I'm going to put them in a different order. I want to start with Roll20 because I feel like neither of us really like that one a lot.
Neither of us like Roll20.
But I'm actually going to say you should use Roll20.
Do it.
And
you should use it just in general. Okay.
Well,
explain.
I don't know if I'm going to say in general. I think everybody who doesn't know what virtual tabletop they want to use should try Roll20 first. For the...
Sure.
Express reason that it's free. You can just use it. There's nothing. You can just use Roll20, and I think that is a good place to start. And I think it's we'll get into it in a little bit. I think it's missing a lot of features, and I think it's incomplete, and I don't think it's the best one out there. But it's 100% free, and you can just use it. And you and your players don't have to pay a dime. I have to cancel my subscription because apparently I'm still paying for this.
Nice. Nice, Rufus.
But I will do that later. But Roll20 has paid content. It has free content. You can
got it all.
It kind of looks like this.
Honestly, you're making it seem like I should start using Roll20, Rufus.
I disagree entirely. I don't think anybody should use it. I really don't. But this is.
But you just said you should use it.
I don't think I think you should start with it. I don't think you should use it long term. This is kind of what it looks like. You got like a chat screen over here, and you can actually, depending on what content you've bought, because they're semi-partnered with Wizards of the Coast, you can buy the modules and get like the monster manual and stuff in there. And the tabletop kind of looks like this. It's got dynamic lighting. This is just a weird, I don't even know what this article is. I just found it on Google Images, but
it's a hill giant.
It is a hill giant, but here's probably a better look at it. But you can also use their built-in video chat, which is absolute garbage, so don't. But dynamic lighting is kind of cool. It's a thing where like the token
lighting is actually a lot cooler. Like as maybe not when you start, it doesn't matter that much, but it can be really cool.
So dynamic lighting is when your token can see as far as it can see. So if we were playing in person and I had dark vision and Cal didn't, Cal would have to like know in his mind that his character couldn't see as far as I could. With dynamic lighting, when we're playing virtually and we're not in the same room, Cal can only see as far as Cal can see, and I can see as far as I can see, regardless of what that means.
Yep.
But Roll20 is a good place to start, and I think that's where everybody should start. I don't think you should throw a whole bunch of money into it, especially you're already going to
have to... I would recommend not even throwing money into it until you've like used it for a little bit. Yep. Then if you really like it for some reason, go for it. But just like get your feet wet and Roll20 and then switch over, because I feel like it's a clunky system, and I feel like it's just missing a lot of features.
And that's kind of why...
Dynamic lighting. Dynamic lighting's great.
I would say that you should use the SRD stuff. So, like, use the monsters that are free and use the player classes that are free and just use Roll20 and see if you like it. And some people really do. There are people who love Roll20. I'm not one of them, but there are people who love it and would never switch. It's not my cup of tea. Specifically in the automation department, specifically... Once you start looking at the price of their modules, and they're a subscription-based service, so you could be like me.
Yeah, I feel like I used it for a little bit. I never personally DM'd with it. My brother DM'd with it for a little bit, and then everyone switched over. He was like, yeah, we're switching over from Roll20.
I used to DM with it, and as you can see, if you're not careful, you can accidentally keep that subscription going forever. So I'm going to cancel that.
Roll20's gotten a lot of money from Rufus.
Yeah, $49. He's a true supporter. $49 a year. Yeah, I'm gonna cancel that subscription.
$49.
So yeah, there we go. Subscription canceled. Rufus doesn't have to pay once a year for this anymore. But
are you sure? It might not have actually fully canceled.
It did. So there's three tiers. There's the free tier, the $49 a year tier, and the $100 a year tier, and it controls things like whether or not you see ads on loading screens, whether or not you have access to dynamic lighting, and how much online storage you can have. So like the free one only gives you 100 megabytes of storage, so like you might have to delete maps and stuff like that. Even the $49 one, it's only 3 gigs of storage, which is it's significantly more, but it's still not a lot. And then the $100 one is 6 gigs. Both of the paid tiers have dynamic lighting, but the middle tier, the $49 tier, doesn't have access to API access, which allows you to do things like automation. So like you don't have to roll the dice in Roll20. Like you can click a button instead of going like this and flicking a dice and have it actually do stuff.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great. You can also pay monthly. You don't have to pay per year, but it's a little bit more. It's $5 a month and $10 a month. But it's got its pros, it's got its cons. It's a great place to start.
Like it's
but I wouldn't recommend it long term. I think it's a great way to get into the tabletop world, the virtual tabletop world, and kind of see what they're all about and decide if you want to do research to find a better one. That's kind of all I have to say about Roll20. I used it for many years. Like, it'll get the job done. It really will. It doesn't have a lot of the good features of some of the other virtual tabletops.
True. It's just lacking in features, and that's unfortunate. But so, it also has enough to get you started.
For our next one, which one do we want to do next?
Let's do the Rufus one.
Okay.
Next.
So when I DM, if you're watching the Sagging Rufus extravaganza, I use Fantasy Grounds. Now, the biggest drawback to Fantasy Grounds is the initial price. And the reason for that is you either have to buy a really expensive copy to make it so your players don't have to pay. It's a one-time fee, so it's not a subscription like Roll20. But either you have to pay $125, and then nobody ever has to pay if they want to play with you. Or you have to pay $45, and so do all your players. So I wasn't an ever-loving god, and I made all my players have to pay $45. But it goes on sale a lot.
It does go on sale a lot.
I would say that's one of the only downsides to Fantasy Grounds, in my opinion.
Do they pay for the books in Fantasy Grounds as well?
You do, yes. But you do you do everywhere, so that's why I'm not calling that a con.
That's true.
You have to pay for the Wizards of the Coast content you use across everywhere. So my personal recommendation would be if you're not going to play in person, don't buy the paperback books because you do not get download codes that go anywhere.
They're really cool collectible.
They are, and they're
stacked behind the computer.
I have a bunch of them over there. But if you're never going to play in person, don't. Just buy them on the virtual tabletop that you're going to commit to. Because I own like 4 different copies of the Player's Handbook across different services. I mean,
it probably wasn't worth the money for 4 different copies of the Player's Handbook.
It wasn't. But yeah, so there's an entry fee to get in. And the other thing that I would say is a con of Roll20 is the user interface isn't intuitive at times. But
it's not.
I think those are 2 very small things that can be overlooked when you see the power of this software. There's 2 versions of Fantasy Grounds. Forget Classic exists, and just go straight for Unity. They're the same price.
It's definitely worth the upgrade, yeah.
Fantasy Grounds Unity has dynamic lighting and a whole bunch of quality of life things that are just better. The thing I like about Fantasy Grounds as a DM is that I can make modules. And everything is a link in Fantasy Grounds. So like I can start writing a story and then just put a link to the map and put a link to the encounter that I can just drag onto the map. And then I have another link for the loot that they find at the end. And then I have another link to whatever I want, a roll table. And then just click a button and it rolls against the roll table.
And then you get something, whatever it is.
And I guess this is the big difference, in my opinion, between a lot of other virtual tabletops and Fantasy Grounds. I feel like Roll20 in particular, I feel like it's really geared towards just facilitating a battle map. Whereas I feel like Fantasy Grounds is set up for you to run a game. And I think that's the big difference. In Fantasy Grounds, you run the whole game. In Roll20, you just really have a battle map. I think that's the big difference. Like, yes, you can put all your information in Roll20, but it's not as seamless and it's not as good. I've tried to run modules.
In Roll20, it doesn't really work.
Well, we ran How Orcus Stole Christmas in Roll20.
Right, and it was clunky.
It was very clunky, and like the way that like the story progresses through a module, I had to use the PDF in conjunction with Roll20 because there wasn't really like a good way to handle it. In Fantasy Grounds, like that's all kind of taken care of. It's all integrated in. There's spots for stories and items, and like I would say Roll20 is really cool for players, and I would say it's like running the game, I'd say there's just essential features in Roll20 that aren't in Fantasy Grounds that aren't in other virtual tabletops like Roll20.
Sure.
The last thing I'll say about it is there was who was it? It might have been either Taking 20 or Matt Koval. They did a price comparison between Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds, and Fantasy Grounds is cheaper for every single. At the time of filming, every module was cheaper on Fantasy Grounds, and it was a pay once as opposed to Roll20's pay forever. I don't know.
That's a pretty big thing. The amount of money you think something costs.
Yeah, and the other thing too is because Roll20 is on Steam, things go on sale a lot. Or not Roll20. Why do I keep saying Roll20 when I mean Fantasy Grounds? Probably because I played with Roll20 for a long time. But Fantasy Grounds is on Steam, so it has a whole bunch of there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on sale all the time, and you also get access to Steam Workshop, which I believe there should be stuff for Fantasy Grounds in there as well. So. Overall, huge, huge fan of Fantasy Grounds. I don't dislike the one that you're going to talk about. Boundary's kind of cool. But
You also haven't seen Foundry from the DM perspective.
I have never seen it from the DM perspective. But yeah. I guess the other thing I didn't talk about Fantasy Grounds is everything's automated. So when you're moving your token around, you can control click an enemy and then just click the attack button and it'll do the roll and just tell you if you hit or miss. It'll compare your attack roll against the AC. It'll subtract all the damage that happens. It'll do all that stuff.
I like the subtraction. Personally, I would rather tell my player whether it hits or not.
Yep.
I personally enjoy the back and forth between the DM and the player more than just you roll, you see if it hits, you roll damage, you know it. Yeah.
And
personal preference.
You can probably modify that a bit. You could probably make it so that it doesn't declare whether it was a hit or a miss.
Correct. Or you can use a software that doesn't do it anyway.
You could do that. You could just pick a software with less features. You could do that.
With better features that aren't necessary.
But yeah, I like a lot of the automation stuff. I really like the fact that my players can cast Fireball in a spot and just target all the things and just roll. And it'll just say, these are the guys that it passed. These are the guys that fail. And then when you roll damage, it just automatically subtracts half damage from the dudes that lost. I really like that.
It does it. It's true.
And maybe someday we'll do a tutorial on how we use these softwares. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But that's all I have to say about Fantasy Grounds, because I could talk forever about how much more I like it than Roll20. So
Roll20 is bad.
Yeah, but that's again, fact. You should start there because it's not unusable. And don't spend money if you don't have to. Play a game in Roll20 first and ask yourself, what do I wish I could do that I can't? And then go do research into these other ones and find out which one you think you'll like best. Would be my advice.
Fact.
So what do you got, Cal? What do you use? You use a different software. You don't use Roll20 or 1 through 19.
It's true.
You don't use Fantasy Grounds. What do you use?
Foundry Virtual Tabletop.
Foundry Virtual Tabletop.
So it costs $50 for the DM, and then essentially the rest of the cost for the DM or the players is up to D&D Beyond. So Foundry links directly with D&D Beyond, and that's the cool thing with it. So I had a lot of sources on D&D Beyond already, or a bunch of stuff, so that's why I use Foundry mostly, because Foundry and D&D Beyond go hand in hand. It's a really cool software. It's a little bit chunky, I guess would be the thing. It can be a little bit of a resource hog for certain people who don't have the okay computers.
And
one of my players has some issues. I think that's the biggest con, is that it is actually still in beta. So they are working on some stability things, but that's probably the biggest con, is it's still a bit clunky
I would say they all have that problem. Like Roll20 was kind of clunky, but it was in a web browser, so it didn't feel as bad. And I would say that I think Fantasy Grounds Unity suffers from that a little bit too. I think it is kind of a resource hog compared to what it could be.
So the one thing I like about Foundry, speaking of specifically resource hogs, mm-hmm. is the way it loads maps. Is I already have all the maps loaded and I just activate it.
Yep.
It doesn't take as long for my players to get into the map and the map to load because it's already loaded on my virtual tabletop application. So they can just kind of go to it.
Yep.
But yeah, other than that, it is a bit on the clunky side for people who don't have the best computers. I love the way... So I've never DM'd anything in Fantasy Grounds. I don't know how its builder is. But like in Foundry, I click on a button, I make I have a drop-down tab on my left that lets me put walls in, put lighting in, do everything like that for a map. Mm-hmm. I could actually add music if I really wanted to a map, which I don't know why I'd want to do that. It's a really cool piece of software because I can take a map on the internet, plop it into it, and then just put in walls and dynamic lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also super easy to use for my perspective. I don't use it that much, but it does also have items I can hand out to my players. It has journal entries that I can do. It has pictures I can send out to everyone. So it does have all the aspects as far as the story aspect of it. I don't use it that much because I usually just kind of tell my players, and then I use Discord for that kind of stuff mostly. But yeah, I like it a lot. It's a really nice, easy to use software that links with D&D Beyond pretty well.
And I guess one thing I'll mention, I don't you kind of touched on it, but this is true for all three of the softwares we've talked about. If the dungeon master owns it, the players can use it. And then that's for sources. So like in Fantasy Grounds, I have all the ma or I won't say all. I have most of the major books in Fantasy Grounds. So like I already have Player's Handbook, DMG, Monster Manual, Tash's Cauldron of Everything, Xanathar's,
Pretty sure
Guildmaster's
you have
Guide to
every major. You,
Ravnica.
anyone that anyone would use most of the time, you have.
Yeah, I have most of them all already. When my players want something, the way I approach it is I'll check the price, and if it's something I think I might use again, I'll buy it. And if not, I'll let my player buy it, because if they have it, they can use it. It's just not usable to everybody in that sense. Like when I bought Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, it was like $10 or something like that. I told the player straight up, I was like, I'm not paying $40 for this, but if it's like 10, I'll buy it. And if it's like 40, you can decide if you're willing to pay for it to use it. And that was kind of the stance I took on that, was if you're willing to buy it and it's expensive, go for it. If it's cheap, I don't mind buying it because I like having extra sources. And I'm sure you can
And
do
like the one
this
thing.
in D&D Beyond. Sorry to cut you off there. I'm sure you
No, you're
can do
fine.
this in D&D Beyond, but I'm going to confirm with you. In Fantasy Grounds, I can specifically choose which sources I want toggled on and off. So like I can say I don't want
I've
them
never
using Volos.
tried it
So
because I've never had any. I never had a reason. So I never played by the old Adventurers Guild rules where you can only have two books or
Yep.
three books. I just said, go for it. If you want to make a character that uses more than two books of
Yep.
spells, I don't care. So I've never had to worry about it.
The really cool thing about the way Fantasy Grounds does it is they took every module and broke it up into two pieces. There's the player version and the DM version. So like I can make it so that you guys can actually open the books and read them in Fantasy Grounds if you wanted to. But if I load in the player version, you wouldn't have access to any of the monsters or any of the DM specific stuff. You would only get the pages specific to players when you open the book to read it, which is kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. I mean, if my players bought something on D&D Beyond, they'd be able to read the whole thing. Because like Foundry and D&D
Yeah.
Beyond are meant to be used in
Yeah, in tandem.
in tandem with each other.
You have anything else cool to say about it?
Not really. I think kind of went over everything. I really like. I feel like a con for all three is that they don't use the same damn hotkeys for everything. I
Yeah.
go into Fantasy Grounds and I try and control click drag to see the distance I am from a character, or like to see how far a map is, and I just can't do anything. You have to go use a different combination and then roll 20 to something different.
So I will tell you that in your settings there is a hotkey. I think there's a different hotkey profile, so I want to check that. They might have one for Foundry. I want to check that. I don't know.
Boundary file. I don't know.
But you might be able to fix your hotkey woes. But yeah, none of them use the same hotkeys, which suck.
That's just the issue.
I have an honorable
Dynamic
mention.
lighting is awesome. I'm just gonna say that.
Oh
Dynamic
yeah.
lighting.
Takes a long time to set up. On intricate maps.
No.
On intricate
So
maps.
even on intricate maps, I don't know how Fantasy Grounds is, but I can just, as long as I have walls in, I plop down a lighting
Well,
and make
okay,
it big or
that's
small.
the part that takes a long time though, is drawing all the
It doesn't
walls.
take that. Well, yeah, the walls can be a bit of a pain in the. I don't know how long that. I have my Strahd map.
Like imagine doing Wave Echo Cave and drawing all the walls. That would take forever.
I think it took for, I forget which vertical slice of
Yeah.
Strahd. It took me like 15 minutes.
But yeah, it's much better than drawing, I'll tell you that much.
That's true. Anyway,
I got
honorable mention
honorable mention,
or dishonorable mention.
Tabletop Simulator. I've heard people play D&D on it. I couldn't fathom trying to do that. I wouldn't It's possible you can move pieces, but like that's kind of coming back to the issue I have with Roll 20, is that it's literally just a battle map at that point. Like you're not running the game in Tabletop Simulator.
Oh no, well, you might be able to.
I mean, you could, but you're still going to need like external things like Google Docs and stuff like that, because you can't actually put your game stuff in there. Like and it's not even a preference. You'll have to. Like you can say I prefer Google Docs, but if you're using Tabletop Sim, there's no other choice. You're going to have to use the second software to track all that stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to use the one notebook that is available in Tabletop Simulator to track it all.
That's all you need.
But some people use it. So if you have Tabletop Sim already and you don't want to use Roll 20, you can use something worse. You can try Tabletop Sim.
You can try Tabletop Sim. I don't know why you would, but you could.
But I've heard people do it. I don't know if those people are smart or not, but people do it. Okay.
Act.
I don't think I have anything else to say about virtual tabletops. I think I'm all virtual tabletoped it out.
Good. I agree.
But you know what I was thinking the other day, Cal?
That you're going to lose on Thursday?
I wasn't thinking that. Now I'm kind of thinking that.
Got him.
I was thinking the other day, you know, when we finish these streams, why on earth aren't we rating people? Like just random channels that hit a category that we talked about.
Go for it. We can do a D&D raid or
That's what I was thinking.
It's someone playing.
I was thinking
Stardew Valley tournaments.
I was thinking we hit up a D&D raid and just try to find someone using either Fantasy Grounds or Foundry or Roll 20. It was kind of my.
I don't think it matters what they're using.
No, just one of the ones that we talked about, if we can.
Sure.
You know what?
Why not?
Let's take a look around here. Let's find our. These people appear to be using Roll 20.
Those poor people.
Narapai, I believe, is the person's name. Let's see. Can you hear them? I can't.
I can't.
Okay.
I have mod view on. It's very confusing to get out of mod view. I don't even know where I am anymore. Twitch. Oh my god.
Okay, so we'll host this person and hopefully it's a good D&D campaign. They're using Roll 20. You can take a look at Roll 20 and see what you think of it. Come back on Thursday. Me and Cal are gonna be doing our race.
We'll be here. Rufus will be losing.
Definitely.
And I'll be winning.
And after that, we'll see you guys on Monday. You guys all have a fantastic night and join in on the raid. We'll go raid this guy.
Yeah.